Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. What is the founder of Entertainment Television up to these days? Working on content for Chinese audiences that may wind up available to you and all. Larry Nader joins me next, live from Los Angeles. Also ahead, two comedy classics get a live revival next month on ABC, Netflix's new Big Apple Playland, and our new classic trivia winner. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get three free audiobooks when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Whether you're celebrating Good Friday 2019 or the start of Passover tonight, we welcome you to the program All About Television. Hope you're doing well wherever you are along the way. And we have a good guest coming your way over the next few minutes and change. And we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone, dial in, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. We have our chat room up for business and available for your business at blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's Simon Apple 04 by name. And by the way, the brand new format that we introduced on Monday's episode, and so far, so good. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we hear you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect up with us by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk speaker screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Larry Gamer is live with us from Los Angeles after these news notes. In what shapes up as the most unique reboot undertaking in this era of sitcom reboots, ABC will offer a performance of two classic Norman Lear developed series live next month. One episode each from All in the Family and The Jeffersons will perform live with Woody Harrelson as Archie Bunker and Jamie Foxx and Wanda Sykes as George and Louise Jefferson. Lear will co-host the event with Jimmy Kimmel, with multiple comedy Emmy awardee James Burrows directing. ABC will originate the event from Los Angeles, May 22nd. Call us next time the studio complex grows in Brooklyn, a big complex for Netflix. The company will offer in a six-stage facility in Brooklyn's Williamsburg District, occupying about 161,000 square feet, and it will generate thousands of production crew jobs by 2024. Netflix will budget up to $100 million for the complex and expand office space in Manhattan, under a deal signed off yesterday by New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. In return, Netflix will get up to $4 million in tax credits, spaced out through 2029. Series on Netflix with a New York base include Orange is the New Black going this last season this year, She's Gotta Happen Spike Lee, which will be premiering its second season next month, and Russian Doll, which premiered a few weeks ago. Now some quickies before we get to our guests. Krypton will begin its second season on Sci-Fi June 12th. Natalie Morales is in a 3-year run hosting Access and Access Live. Kit Hoover will be temporarily host of both series. Morales will continue as today's West Coast anchor person and Dateline correspondent. And after landing a renewal from the newly constituted Fox yesterday, Last Man Standing will deliver its 150th episode tonight. And that is news notes for today. My guest today was on this program several years ago. Many moons ago, he was the person that put together the network then known as Movie Time and ultimately E! Entertainment Television. When we last heard from him, he was involved in a project called Main Goal Entertainment Group. He is still there today as its president and chief executive officer. Joining us live in Los Angeles, pleasure to welcome back Larry Nader. Welcome back, Larry.
Thank you, Simon. Good to be back.
Same here. Larry, before we get to your projects with Maton, what's your thinking about this transforming media environment, TV environment that we're in, where we have Netflix, we have Hulu, we have Amazon, we may have finally long-act interactive television, and coming up we have people like Apple and Warner Media and Comcast, NBC Universal, and Disney entering the field with their new services?
Well, as a TV producer, I mean, the world has never been better. There are so many buyers out there competing for good products. So, you know, on one hand, it's great because there's a lot of buyers. On the other hand, there's so many people producing now that it's actually become tougher here in the U.S. to get people, directors and actors and stuff, because everybody's working or committed. So good. It's got a little bit of good and a little bit of bad, but ultimately I don't think TV's ever been better.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that way? Why do you think TV has never been better? What about what you're seeing suggests that?
Well, I mean, I just look at how many good shows that are on, and I can't keep up with all of them. I don't ever remember, having to make a choice between one good show and one bad show, and another good show. It's always been, up until recently, TV, particularly cable, has been, default viewing. There's nothing on. You sit with a remote control, and you kind of go through it until something catches your eye and it stops you. In the living world. Now in the on-demand world, there's no such thing as default viewing. I mean, everything I watch is something that is really good and I really want to watch.
Last week, Netflix launched the first interactive, unscripted television series, You vs. Wild with Bear Grylls. And earlier this week, when Netflix had their conference call, for me, the most interesting thing that was said was by Ted Sarandos, their chief programmer, that before this month is out, less than a month into this program's run, 26 million people are going to interact with this series. 26 million. And there is talk now that YouTube is going to do interactive programming before the end of this year, that Apple may do programming interactivity when they launch this fall. We don't know what WarnerMedia is going to do, what Disney Plus is going to do, and so forth. Do you think that long last interactive television is finally here?
I think it's here. I think, I don't know if you remember, Simon, but for a little bit of time, like almost 2 years, I was the primary consultant to Microsoft for interactive TV strategy. So, I've done a lot of work in that field, and I'm a great believer in less is more. I think that, most of the time people don't want to interact with television, but over time, literally everybody wants to have a deeper, richer relationship with a show or a series or a network. So I think right at the beginning, everybody overdoes it. And just because you can do it doesn't mean that the audience really wants to do it. But you got a lot of that, and then I think it kind of tempers down. And once the creative people, once the writers begin to understand that interactivity is a tool that they could use to, let's call it, expand the density of programming. You can't expand time, but you can expand how people could throw into a show. I think you'll see a lot more relevant stuff, but I don't think it gets used as much as people are thinking it is. Most of the time I come home, I want to sit on the couch and watch a great show. I don't necessarily want to interact, but if I'm watching something and I want to know where that actor came from, or I want to have a conversation with my friends while we're all watching the same show, those things are absolutely going to happen, and I mean, they're happening now. So.
You wonder, though, Larry, whether there's something in play that wasn't in play before that may really make interactivity a widespread mass medium, and it's this, that we now have three-quarters of all U.S. households have smart TV sets and smart devices like Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Chromecast, et cetera. And more of these sets and devices are having artificial intelligence voice services, Google Assistant, Siri, Alexa built in so that you can control the set with your voice, not just with your remote control. And it may lead some people to think, you know what, if that's the case, the lean forward experience now is available for a majority of people to do not just choose the way they want to catch a program, but also to choose the way they want to watch advertising and maybe ultimately develop an opportunity to order products and services, whether it's the latest from the grocery store or whether it's a service from Airbnb or HomeAdvisor.
Yeah, I think clearly that, that's the case. I mean, if you go back to, when a lot of us started in that interactive TV mode, it was still analog television. So things were scheduled at a certain time, and everything really was lean back instead of lean forward. I think, now with so many years of the Internet being, as predominant as it is, people have gotten used to, having some level of interaction with this screen in front of them, whether it's a computer screen or a cell phone screen or a smart TV screen. So it's become much more comfortable, particularly for, younger generation. And we've gotten used to doing a lot of stuff from that screen. I mean, I probably have moved 75% of my grocery shopping, online. I mean, I don't even remember, going out to retail in the last 2 or 3 years. I mean, so it's become a very normal activity. People don't have any qualms about interacting with the screen, whatever that screen may be.
Larry Neighbor, the former head of Entertainment Television, he is now the head of Meituan Global Entertainment Group, and they're working on a number of projects in China that may find their way here to the United States, and we'll talk about that shortly. Larry joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Appleman with you live from New York, here on Blog Talk Radio Speaker and the iHeart Radio Podcast Network. If you have a question or comment for Larry, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We're going to be with you 4 out of 5 days next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, back-to-back-to-back, and then Friday afternoon as well. And coming up on Monday's episode at our regular time, Nature from PBS has a brand-new 3-part miniseries that they're doing live called American Spring Live. We will have the executive producer, Al Berman, and the senior producer, Ann Johnson Prom, with us live. They're our lead guest Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And coming up on Tuesday, can BET make it 3 for 3 in original scripted series? First, there was American Soul, then Boomerang. Will they be 3 for 3 this coming Tuesday night with Games People Play? We will have the people behind Games People Play on our program. Executive producer Tracy Edmonds, producer Vanessa Middleton, and showrunner. And they'll be with us live Tuesday at a special time, 4 or 4:30 Eastern Time, 1:30 Pacific. That's Tuesday, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Larry, when we heard you a few years ago, you were getting started with Meituan Global. Bring us up to where that is at.
Sure. Meituan is a company that we started, myself and Marty Pompadour and Jean Zhang, who's a Chinese woman that was living in the U.S. and has moved back to China. So Marty used to be Rupert Murdoch's partner, chairman of News Corp Europe. So we started that company really to develop programming or content, let's say, in China for the Chinese audience. And we've done that reasonably successfully. It turns out that our decision to do things for the Chinese audience in Mandarin language was absolutely correct, and it's kind of separated us out from some of the other American companies that have not been so successful in China. Now we've actually started doing things in China, but for other markets, using the production economics of China or the different looks and locations of China, that would be of interest to Western audiences. So we've got some TV shows going now. We've got a show called Go China, which is kind of a look at modern-day China and all the stuff that's going on, particularly with young people and the music scene and the food scene and the wine scene and pop culture and all of that. And we're doing a big movie now called Empress, which is about the first woman ruler of China. But it was interesting because when I talked to you back then, and I was telling people I want to do a movie, about this first woman ruler of China, but I want to do it in English with all American-born Chinese and Canadian-born Chinese. People thought I was out of my mind. And then this year we've had Crazy Rich Asians and, all those people who thought I was nuts are now kind of coming around and saying, hey, remember that movie you wanted to do? Do you still want to do it? And so that's an interesting one. I brought in Ron Bass to write the screenplay. Ron won the Academy Award for Rain Man and co-wrote Joy Luck Club. And, our movie is very, very timely. We bought a book called Empress by a writer, and Ron Bass wrote it, and it's really, in our movie, it's a global theme. It's a woman's struggle to make it in a male-dominated society, it's more of that than it is a Chinese historical film. So it's kind of the King's Speech meets The Last Emperor, and we're in the early stages of putting that together. We're signing the director, hopefully in the next week or so, and the movie should start production early next year.
I believe there were some press releases, Larry, that came out a year or two ago that suggested this was going to be a television series. Was that originally the case? And if it was, why do it as a movie first? And if you do it as a movie first, will a TV series ultimately happen?
Well, the press releases didn't come from us. There was another group that was actually, some of them, I believe, from the BBC, some Game of Thrones. They announced they were going to do this as a TV series. The press releases turned out to be less than accurate, I believe. I don't know how else to phrase it, but as far as we know, that's not happening. We've always designed this as a movie, and we're just going forward as a feature film.
Mm-hmm. Something else you're doing is a project known as the Bruce Lee Project. And a couple weeks ago, we had Jonathan Tropper, who is the creator of a series that just started on Cinemax called Warrior, which is based on the writings of Bruce Lee. And Shannon Lee's production company is involved. And I understand that she is also involved with your project.
Yeah. And, ours was a reality show, really, based on the philosophies of Bruce Lee. Very, very different. It was very positive, uplifting, reach within yourself and be the best that you could be. But because of, all this political stuff that's going on in China with trade wars and stuff like that, pretty much all of our existing projects are going and moving along nicely. New projects are all pretty much on hold, waiting to see what happens with this trade war and the tariffs and stuff. So,
I want to talk about that in a second, but first of all, tell me what the Bruce Lee Project is about. What kind of reality project is it?
Well, I mean, if you think of Survivor, but, instead of voting your friend off the island, all the competitions were based on the philosophies of Bruce Lee. Bruce had several books, that were about his theories of thoughts on life and environment and how we need to be good citizens of the planet and good to each other and all of that kind of stuff. So all the challenges were based on Bruce's philosophies. So it was not a fighting show, so it wasn't, who could be the next Bruce Lee, but it was who best exemplifies all those things that we stood for.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any possibility that might come to the United States in some way, especially now that Warrior is off and running at Cinemax?
Well, like I say, our feeling was always to launch it in China, and that's, right now it's just not the right time to launch anything in China. So the idea for all the stuff we do is to take formats, test them in China under great economic circumstances, fine-tune them, make them work, and then bring them back to the Western world. So that, along with several other things, are all possible to come to the U.S.
Yeah. Over a year ago, there was a lot of rumors and speculation that we would see Chinese companies invest in American television production companies, film production companies, get joint ventures off the ground here, and that talk has pretty much dissipated. How much of that is because of the trade situation between the two countries, and how much of that is because of China's own economic system, which has had a rough go in recent months?
There's actually a combination of both. So number one, there was this frenzy to invest in Western media companies, particularly Hollywood companies, and a lot of those were not really well thought out or good deals. I mean, you look at Wanda's purchase of Legendary, for $3.5 billion, and we looked at that not for us, but we looked at it on behalf of the Chinese company. There was no way we could justify anything close to those numbers, and those were always suspect. And then you hear Dick Clark is selling for $1 billion, which that deal never went through and stuff. But eventually the Chinese government kind of woke up and realized that a lot of Chinese companies were using this as a way to get money offshore, and so they cracked down on that. They became much stricter on Chinese investment in Western companies, particularly media and entertainment. Then you had the turn of the economy, which, then slowed a lot of things down. And, all these media companies that were popping up literally by the hour all of a sudden couldn't be funded the way they used to. And, but then you have the companies that have been going, like us and, STX and others. And, this trade war certainly has, dented our plans and stuff. there's just so much uncertainty. It's not that they don't want to do the projects anymore. It's just that nobody really knows how this ends up. So everybody's just kind of saying, hey, let's just put this on pause and see where, you know, we end up.
Yeah. And it was also the situation with Donald Tang and what was IM Global and then Global Road, where because of a number of different machinations, that whole venture fell apart. They're still never trying to keep the Global Road TV projects alive, both original and acquisitions, and nobody knows where that is going to go.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, there was just such a rush that people really weren't doing their due diligence, and they weren't using, you know, let's call it accepted accounting principles and stuff. Everybody's trying to get a deal done no matter what. And, you know, a lot of those deals that we saw, we just thought made no sense whatsoever. And, you know, and then in advisory roles in some, you know, other companies, we told people, you know, not to go forward, that there was just no sense in the deal. And, you know, you look at what's happened with Wanda and, you know, having to give up a lot of their big plans here in the U.S. and stuff like that. So, you know, a lot of it would just, I mean, bad deals eventually always get exposed as bad deals is really what it amounts to.
Well, welcome somebody in our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. A question or comment for Larry. Put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. President Trump's advisor is going to be meeting with a Chinese delegation in China, I believe, in the next week or two, and then Chinese delegation coming here to Washington, D.C. Is there optimism where you are that a trade deal will be struck and that from there we could see some activity in terms of Chinese-U.S. TV relationships?
Yeah, I think it's in the interest of both countries to get this thing figured out and out of the way. I think it's hurt their economy. I think it's hurting our economy more than we necessarily report. You know, I'd hate to be a soybean farmer, you know, in the Midwest. You know, all those orders have just moved to other countries. So I think the Chinese, just instead of getting their soybeans from us, they'll get them from the Russians now. So it's in everybody's interest. I think they're, from what I understand, they're reasonably close to coming to an agreement on what the terms should be. I think the real trick is going to be in, you know, how do you implement this and how do you monitor it and stuff like that. I don't think they've conquered those yet. So I think they'll come to some basic agreement within the next, let's say, 60 days. But then I think figuring out the implementation and the monitoring is going to take another few months. So I'm kind of looking at the beginning of next year is when it really begins to kind of fade away.
Larry Niemer is our guest this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. He is the president and chief executive of Meituan Global Entertainment Group, out to create programming for the Chinese audience and ultimately for us here in the U.S. and around the world, too. He joins us live in Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Appleman, I'm with you live from New York, where it's 75 beautiful degrees in the Big Apple, which, by the way, got a wonderful boost from the new Netflix deal that was signed yesterday by Governor Cuomo. Governor of New York yesterday, which, by the way, will be getting into my neck of the woods, Brooklyn, with 6 sound stages and a lot of money, about $100 million could be going into that venture. Anyway, if you have a question or comment for our guest, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. 2 weeks from today on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll have the award-winning producer Linda Oakes with us. Her latest project, it's National Geographic's new miniseries, The Hot Zone, starring Joanna Margulies, in a story that showcases how the Ebola crisis came to be. Linda Oakes, executive producer of The Hot Zone, live with us exclusively 2 weeks from today, May 3rd, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. One thing, Larry, that has not been talked about in quite a while is the whole idea of Netflix getting into China. It wasn't even a topic on their conference call this week for the latest quarter in a row. Do you think ultimately that there will be a streaming service in China, whether Netflix or somebody else?
Well, there are a whole bunch of streaming services in China now. You know, they're homegrown and, yeah, quite honestly, doing quite well. Netflix did have a deal with one of them, iQIYI, it's called, where the output of Netflix originals were going to China. I believe that deal did not get renewed. But I think ultimately you'll see more of that kind of deal where Netflix joins forces with a Chinese platform to supply content. I don't think you're going to see Netflix walk in there as Netflix and kind of operate, you know, on their own. Not in China, not in the short term.
Before I let you go, Larry, I understand last year your company launched a film fund. Any thoughts about maybe launching a TV fund, a production fund for a new TV series?
Yeah, actually we are. We're in the process of putting all the paperwork together. Hopefully that will be together within the next 90 days. We're pretty far along on that. And that would be any kind of production, TV or film. And, of course, the criteria now that we're using is pretty common across both. And they're not separate business models anymore. TV and film are kind of blended together, particularly with the Netflix of the world and the Amazons coming along. So our fund won't be defined as either film or TV. It'll just be media or content.
Mm-hmm.
Also, one of the big hit movies of last year was Crazy Rich Asians, and it looks like that film is having a major impact on not only new television series getting piloted or launched with Asian-American themes, with Asian-American stars or perhaps future stars, but also Asian-Americans getting an opportunity to write, direct, and produce. What do you think is the future of television here in the United States where Asian-Americans have a major role?
Well, I think it's clearly growing. I think the importance of Asia in the world, you know, in not just the political world, but in the economic world, you know, certainly shown itself to be on the rise and continuing, and nobody kind of sees the end. I mean, people refer to this is the century, you know, the Asian century and stuff. So I think you'll see more of it, but I think you'll see, you know, other ethnicities too. I mean, the U.S., I believe, is really starting to realize that, you know, we're made up of a bunch of diverse cultures and stuff like that, and that have been underrepresented. So you see more of it. I think, you know, when I got involved in cable, that was one of the hopes and goals that we had, you know, particularly with public access, was to give smaller groups and quieter voices a place in the media world. I think now with all the technology coming and bandwidth costs going down, equipment costs going down, you're really beginning to see that, and, you know, our recognition that, you know, we are part of a bigger world.
If you want to know more about Larry Neighbor's company, here's where you can go online, maytanglobal.com. That's Maytan, M-E-T-A-N, global.com. You can find out about the Bruce Lee Project, other projects that are in the works, and maybe hopefully down the road, some TV projects that may find their way right here to the U.S. of A. Larry Neighbor, President and CEO of Maytan Global, thank you again for joining us. Pleasure to have you back. Thank you for all the great thoughts, and keep us posted about what you're up to, and you are open invite. Welcome back anytime.
All right, Simon. Take care. Thank you. Bye.
You two have a super weekend. Larry Neighbor, head of Maytan Global, joining us live from Los Angeles. More Tomorrow Be Televised coming your way in a bit, including our latest classic trivia question winner. We'll get to that winner's name and the correct answer, but first, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Are you a Sherlock Holmes fan? Well, here's a great audio bargain for you. Lots of the wonderful sleuth with Dr. Watson on the trail of a lot of terrific mysteries and mystery solving, as done by the wonderful actor Stephen Fry. Stephen Fry as Sherlock Holmes, now available to you in a trial subscription to Audible.com. Audible.com is not only the proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival coming later this year, but also the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 180,000 titles to choose from, including the growing catalog of Audible Originals. That's everything from one-woman, one-man shows, regional theater, Broadway, off-Broadway productions, and original audio material. Life. Stephen Fry as Sherlock Holmes. Don't forget, you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com, get 3 free audiobooks, 2 of them Audible Originals, and 1 month trial of the service, plus great customer service of the fine folks at Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So hear for yourself why Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. For that 3-book trial and 1-month trial, audibletrial.com. Press televised. We come back. our newest Classic Trivia winner. And in an expanded up segment, remember last week I told you about those three events last week to put on your radar screen? We'll tell you how they turned out. All that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. If you're connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com and www.spreaker.com. Together, reaching over 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. VTR and Spreaker, your home for the Wealth Money Radio Show. Check it out tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And remember, that's VTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back tomorrow. Tomorrow we televise on this Good Friday and start of Passover 2019. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 75 degrees at the top of the hour. Coming up, an expanded up segment about what took place last week at NAB, MIP, and that Disney Plus announcement. But first, time for our newest Classic Trivia question winner. It took us a week and a half, but we finally have our third winner in 4 weeks. And that lucky person is Mary Brewer from Denham Springs, Louisiana. Mary, congratulations. You're getting the Simpsons movie DVD mailed to you. Here's the question that we've been posing for about a week and a half. What musical group made the theme from SWAT a number one hit, in fact, a one-hit wonder, in the 1970s? The answer was Rhythm Heritage. They did the theme from SWAT in 1976. It was actually several years after the show left the air on ABC, which ran about a year and a half. The theme by Barry DeVorzon became a big hit for them. And incidentally, after that, Rhythm Heritage also did the theme from Beretta, written by Dave Bruce and Morgan A., sung by Sammy Davis Jr. Yes, that song, Keep Your Eye on the Sparrow. You hear Rhythm Heritage on the soundtrack of that theme in the original ABC series. But the only major hit they had was the theme from SWAT in 1976. Rhythm Heritage was our answer to our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. Mary Brewer from Denham Springs, Louisiana, was the first one to get it correctly, and so she's getting the Simpsons movie DVD. Congratulations again, Mary. Thanks for playing. And we'll have a new Classic Trivia Question for you on Monday's episode with not one, but two prizes for you. So when we pose the question on Monday, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, if you know the answer. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget when you email to enclose your name, as Mary did, and her full mail address. So if you win, we get the prize out to you as soon as possible. And if you tune in Monday and miss the question, don't worry. We'll post it Tuesday morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. So tune in on Monday for our new Classic Trivia question. Two prizes in play, and who knows, if you play in, you just might win. And now it's time for Up As It Update, where we catch up on guests and topics that we've had previously on this program. And today we're doing the expanded Up segment. Last Monday, that's Monday before last, I should say, we told you to put three events last week on your radar screen: the National Association of Broadcasters Annual Convention in Las Vegas, MIP TV, that's one of two annual international pro-wing fairs taking place in Cannes, France, home of the Cannes Film Festival, which I believe is getting underway this weekend, and the announcement last Thursday of Disney Plus, the long-awaited new programming service that will be available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. But what came out of those three events? And were they worth getting on your radar screen? The answer is yes, at least in two of them, and semi in the third. First, with NAB, no question, if you had this on your radar screen, you learned a lot about the rollout of ATSC 3.0, the Advanced Telecom Systems Committee process that is going to be a major player in the future of local television and television stations. What became very clear at last week's event is that broadcast stations are all in on ATSC 3.0, and that we may see actual deployments at the end of this year and certainly in the major markets next year. So let me tell you, ATSC 3.0, a lot of attention. Something else getting a lot of attention, blockchain. It looks like that subject is making a comeback, and it looks like a lot of stations are going to be using blockchain in various ways, whether in programming, whether in station operations, whether in advertising, or all three. But the big thing is ATSC 3.0. It's going to happen, and we will keep the track for you on it, as a matter of fact, as things roll out. And then we told you about MIP, MIP-TV. The International Programming Fair, put on your radar screen. And we wanted to find out in particular what was going on with a venture called Atrium TV, set up 2 years ago by Sir Howard Stringer, the former head of CBS and Sony. Atrium TV is a semi-Netflix where they would create original programming, series and miniseries, mostly scripted, that would be presented to various networks or programming services in countries around the world. And one service per country would become not only the taker of these programs, but also help fund the service. Well, we told you that it was a while, it was over a year since we heard from the folks at HMTV, and that MIPTV was going to be very important in terms of to find out whether this project is still around. Well, HMTV, if they were there, they didn't say anything. And we're still trying, by the way, to get some word from the folks there about whether, in fact, this project is still in existence. We're going to try again next week to see if we can get some word one way or the other. If it is the case that HMTV has expired, I hope that whatever projects were announced will find their way somewhere on some other service. And by the way, there were some interesting developments at MIPTV that hopefully may become a television series seen in the United States. We'll see if MIPCOM does better. There were about 9,000 people that were attended MIP. MIPCOM is supposed to do better as a fall programming fair. We'll see. And finally, the announcement of Disney Plus. And believe me, if this is on your radar screen, you are so happy, because unlike Apple, Disney poured on the details. We know now that this service is going to launch in mid-November. It's going to cost $7. It's going to be spending $1 billion in the first year on original content, including Star Wars live-action animated series, series from Pixar, scripted, unscripted series, well, scripted series, that new version of High School Musical, a new version of Monsters, Inc. with Billy Crystal, John Goodman, the original cast, being back with their roles, and a whole lot more. No question in my mind that Disney Plus is going to make an impact. There were a couple of things that we didn't hear. We didn't hear what the commitment is from smart TV set makers and smart device makers on taking the service. The only people we heard that were going to take it for sure is Roku. And secondly, we also didn't hear whether it was going to be interactivity, especially in light of Netflix's moves and YouTube's moves in getting interactive programming off the ground. Like I said earlier with my interview with Larry Nehmer, one of the most interesting things I heard out of that Netflix conference call earlier this week was Ted Sarandos saying the 26 million people plus, are going to interact with their first original interactive series, the unscripted You vs. Wild, that premiered on April 10th. And they'll do it before the end of this month. Think about that. 26 million people interacting with a television series in less than 4 weeks' time. Who would have thunk it? Especially after the major success that they had with the Bandersnatch episode of Black Mirror. And what we didn't hear from Disney, or for that matter, Apple, earlier this month, was whether or not any of their programs would be interactive. But we did hear a lot that we bargained for. And no question, Disney Plus is going to make it smart. But I want to offer a caveat. A lot of reporters use the phrase Netflix killer, describing what Disney Plus might do or how it might impact Netflix. Far from it, folks. And if you hear Reed Hastings or Ted Sarandos or any of the major executives at Netflix, they will be the first to tell you, no way, no how is this a killer thing. In fact, we welcome this. We welcome Apple. We welcome the competition. Let them do their thing. We'll learn from it, and we're going to keep focusing on what we do best, creating original content and making the experience of watching that content a fantastic one. If any of those executives think they're in for a killer dealer here in Disney Plus or Apple or what we may hear soon from Warner Media or Hulu or Comcast NBC Universal, they're doing a very good job not showing it. And I would not call anything a Netflix killer yet. Disney Plus still has to prove itself. Let's keep remembering that. Bottom line, all three of the events were definitely worth the radar screen. But I have to say with MIPTV, it was a disappointment that HMTV did not show up. I frankly hope that this venture is still in existence. And if it isn't, that the projects that were announced, like the one final step for mankind that was announced, the Quasimodo miniseries also based on Hunchback of Notre Dame, that they go forward and they find another venue. These are good projects from what I understand, terrific producers, both veteran and newcomers, that really deserve to get their projects off the ground and seen by you, the public. So we'll see. Alrighty. Again, thank you to Larry Namer for being with us on today's program. And I also want to give another shout-out to our wonderful trio of guests that were with us on Monday. Ewan Canning, the creative executive producer of I Ship It, which is coming later this summer on the CW. Leah Rachel, creative executive producer of Chambers, which is premiering next Friday on Netflix. And Alina Thomieri, of the executive producer of The Amazing Race, that started its newest run, 18 seasons, on CBS on Wednesday night. We have heard from a lot of you about this episode, having three women who are all series creators and executive producers on the program. We've gotten a lot of replays off it. The replays are still coming in. Thank you for enjoying the show. Let us know what you think, and we'll try to do more shows like that down the road. In the meantime, I want to remind you that we will be back with you next week with not one, not two, not three, but four episodes of our program. Back to back to back, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, it's April 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Coming your way on Monday, we'll have Al Berman and Ann Johnson Plum from the new PBS miniseries, American Spring Live. They're the executive and senior producer, respectively. Then on Tuesday, can BET make it three new unscripted series hits this year? First, there was American Soul, then Boomerang, and now there's Games People Play, which premieres Tuesday night. We'll have a same-day interview with executive producers Tracy Edmonds and Vanessa Mills, who is also the co-showrunner. And that will be on Tuesday at a special time, 4 or 4.30 p.m. Eastern, 1 or 1.30 p.m. Pacific. Then we'll have a show on Wednesday, and we'll also have a special episode this Friday on April 26th. And don't forget, 2 weeks from today, one of our guests will be the executive producer of the forthcoming National Geographic miniseries, The Hot Zone, covering the Ebola crisis in dramatic fashion and starring Julianne Margulies of The Good Wife and ER fame. Executive producer Linda Oak, the award-winning part one, will be with us. If you came in late on today's program and you want to catch up on episodes you missed, like Monday's episode, please check out our homepage. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget to check out the podcast version. It's available 24/7 on iTunes, on Apple TV, on Spreaker's podcast app, and, of course, on the iHeartRadio podcast network. Remember, when you go to iHeartRadio.com, all you got to do is go to the search bar, put some Bobby Televised in that bar, click it, and you get our episodes right then and there. Remember, we love hearing from you. What's your thoughts about what you heard today? What's your own thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? Do you think we are now finally in the era of interactive television? Are you using artificial intelligence with your smart TV set of smart device like Google Assistant, Alexa, and so forth? What do you think about ATSC 3.0 and how your local TV station may use it to deliver a wide variety of services, some of them interactive? Well, I'd love to hear from you. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and where you're from. Don't forget, that's how you get involved in our Class Trivia Question of the Week. Once again, congratulations to Mary Brewer of Denham Springs, Louisiana, our latest Class Trivia winner. She's getting the Simpsons movie DVD. On Monday, new Class Trivia Question, two prizes in play for the opportunity to participate in one. And remember, we also use that terrific email to get involved in our regular feature, Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention anywhere from anybody? Well, we want to give it the attention, but you got to let us know. And if you do, we'll give you the credit for it. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's the UBCSimonTWBT. However you communicate, I do respond within 24 hours, and we love hearing from you. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate at BTR is Candace Williams. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio, is general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of this very enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise is brought today by Audible.com, the proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival, and an Amazon company. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For three free audiobooks and the one-month trial, audibletrial.com/televise. But Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening, whether you mark Good Friday today and Easter on Sunday, or you mark the start of Passover tonight, please make it a great and safe weekend and wonderful time ahead. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy with your loved ones. We'll be back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Block Talk Radio Speaker and iHeartRadio. And remember, whatever you are doing this weekend, holiday or otherwise, please make it safe and make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.